Fight Camp starts now.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Fight Camp podcast. I'm your host, David Alorca, and each Tuesday of the four fight weeks, we'll be bringing you exclusive sound bites from the fighters, trainers, and even more faces from the world of boxing as we count down to Matchroom's first event this Saturday, the 1st of August. Coming up in today's episode, we catch up with the savage Sam Eggington, who tops the Saturday's main event. Dillian White's young heavyweight charge, Fabio Wardley, eyes his first title. James the Assassin Tennyson's reputation as one of the most exciting fighters in the UK and Ireland continues to grow. Jordan Gill and Rhys Bellotti discuss their make or break featherweight clash. And promoter Eddie Hearn talks us through the making of Fight Camp.
I was a bit reluctant at first because this isn't the kind of organisation where I just say, right, this is what we're doing. I put that out there as a feeler to the team. And I know 1,000,000% they would have probably texted each other going, oh God, have you heard his latest one? You know, and for every great idea, there's 100 terrible ideas that fly with it. And, you know, we sit here now a few days away from Fight Camp and there's a long way to go, you know. And I walked in this morning and people in the office going, oh my God, this is amazing, well done. I said, well done. I said, we're not even started yet. We've got 4 weeks of this. Anything can happen. You're going to get disaster. So at the moment, I'm excited, nervous, proud, but unfortunately, there's no time to celebrate yet because I know what is ahead. And one of the reasons I'm so excited is because when I come up with the idea, no one was really embracing it. You know, they just thought I was mad. But I'm not even talking about the people at Matchroom. I'm talking about maybe sponsors, maybe fighters, maybe even Sky, you know, might have thought, all right, we'll go with it. But, you know, and now when I walk out there, I go, this was an unbelievable idea. But still knowing, got a lot of work to do. And when I say the first Raw Fight Camp is no easy fights, that couldn't be more true. I don't want one easy fight on this card. In fact, if I sit down there and see a poor fight or a mismatch, it's on me because I put it together with the guys. You know, normally I'll get a card on fight week. I probably haven't made half the card. So I can blame someone. Well, this time the blame's on me. But on paper, there isn't one mismatch. Now, there isn't one fight that isn't competitive. And I think moving forward with boxing, that's where we need to be at. But, you know, making all British fights has been so refreshing. I can't tell you, you know, you're waiting for a fighter to come in. Oh, he's missed his flight. Oh, he won't make the press conference. Oh, the trainer's coming on Friday. Oh, you've got no control. You know, here you send a driver to the house, stick your bags in the back, off you go. And that, I want to try and, you know, keep that movement going. You know, I might even say to the board, you know, maybe till the end of the year, let's limit the amount of international opponents that we use outside of the major fights, because there's no excuse. Look at the cards we've made. You know, we could have had, and we would have had, if we hadn't had Fight Camp and this whole situation, a lot of those fighters on the A side fighting international opponents that we don't actually know anything about.
Promoter Eddie Hearn there giving you a snippet into the Fight Camp setup and cards. We have a full betting preview for week one coming up with Eddie this coming Thursday. Don't miss it. Now, one fighter Eddie, and in particular his dad Barry, have been close with down the years is Sam Eggington. The Savage exploded onto the scene back in September 2014, stopping Denton Vassell in Manchester on the Quigg versus Jamoye undercard. Prior to that victory, Eggington featured in Prize Fighter, won the Midlands area title, and held more than a credible W over Dave Ryan on points, all before his 21st birthday. Now, despite coming to the game and eyeing a career as a journeyman, British, Commonwealth, and European titles followed at welterweight. Setbacks too, but a devastating early knockout in Italy back in September propelled Eggington up the 154 IBF world rankings, with a shiny new international title to go alongside it. The 26-year-old Brummy has just had his third child with partner Charlotte and has never shied away from the fact that money is his burning desire to succeed in the sport and provide for his family. Following defeat to Liam Smith last year, the pair have been sparring in the build-up for his last three fights. And in an interesting subplot for this upcoming fight, Eggington reveals he explored the possibility of training at the Matchroom gym in Essex following the Smith defeat as he weighed up his options.
Yeah, funnily enough, I went to Tony. You know, I rang Barry, I said, look, not that, because I believe in this team, you know, massively, 100%, you know, it's not that I don't believe in them, I just thought, at that point, I think if I retired, not trying nothing else, I'd have regretted it. And I did try something else. I tried a few other things, and it's the same stuff, just in a different place. It's, you know, it's that simple. I think what it was here, I just got a bit comfortable. You know, John would be like, look, we're in tonight, we're doing Bag of Bar, or we're in tonight, we're doing this. And I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go for a run tonight. And John would be like, Sam, what's going on? And I'd be like, nah, I'm trying to go for a run. You know, and that was it. And I think I just got a bit too comfy in that sense. And I went away and I worked with a few coaches. And I'd done everything they said, and I just thought, why weren't I doing this at home? Do you know what I mean? I was out for the week, training at different places, and I thought, I can do this while I'm at home, like I say, my kids and my missus. And I just rang John, I said, look, I don't know what I was thinking. It weren't a good idea. I want to get back to work as soon as possible. And John was like, it weren't long after the Smith fight that they rang up about that. I said to John, we need to take that. We need to go over there and do a real job and come back. And John was like, I'm all for it. So we went over, and the whole camp, I was just, as soon as that camp started, funnily enough, we rang Liam Smith again. We was over there sparring. And we was after the Smith fight, we was up the Smith's camp sparring with him because he had the Mexican. I don't know what the Mexican was called. They rang about the Fidelio fight, and we'd done that camp there. So I've been up there for a while. But yeah, as soon as that fight got announced, I just had like a chip on my shoulder. I thought, I'm really going to go over there, do a job, and come home. And that's it. That was my mindset throughout the whole of camp. My career on a whole shows you that, you know, losing's not great, but it's not the end of the world. And I think you need to tell a lot of people that, because there's good kids that lose their first hard fight and think, you know, they've lost now, and they pack it in. And it's not that they shouldn't, really. I mean, if you look at anyone's, if you look at my career alone, I've lost fights what maybe I shouldn't have lost, and I've come back better. I think if you don't take the opportunities while they're there, then you'll never know. You know, the Liam Smith fight, a lot of things were about to fall correct for me that night to win. You know, I lost. But without that, I don't think the Italians would have given me a ring anyway. I don't think Ted's a big, strong, super welter. I mean, if he was, he's going to box. He's going to do exactly what he's done against Fitzgerald. He's going to box and move for as long as he can. And then he's going to have to get into it. And when he gets into it, that's when it's all going to go wrong. I don't think, you know, he's talking like he's too big and too strong, and he's got the big stoppage coming. If he tries that, I think it'd be meat and drink. I'm all over that. And they know that. So yeah, I have a feeling he's gonna be on the back foot, you know, popping, jabbing, moving, boxing, for as long as he can hold it there. It is a must win for Ted, without a doubt. I've never said to people, I want to win a world title so bad, so bad. I'd love to win a world title, don't get me wrong, but when I turned over with John, I said to John, look, get me on the road, journeyman. I'll earn, I don't know, whatever, £800 to a grand a week. And I'd be happy with that. I'd still be doing that now if I could. But obviously it went different, so it's never changed. So every fight's pretty much a must win. Even, you know, in between these big fights, you know, these 4 and 6 rounders, that you need to win them. I treat every fight, you know, the same. I don't look past anyone, I don't think. I just kind of go in to the smaller fights a bit less on the ball, if I'm honest. I train as hard for everything, but like you say, I do slip up on the smaller fights when I'm the favourite, when I should win, and I don't know, but yeah, every fight's a must win. No one can ever question my drive, because it's been there from the start. And, you know, it's my kids and my missus, and that's not going to change. They're still there. That never changes. So my drive can never fade. You know, it's not like I can get punched in the head a few times and think, this title's not worth it. It's not. You know, I want to win so my family are comfy, and that'll never change. So my drive's been as strong as it is from day one to today.
A world title remains the missing piece of the puzzle to Eggington's trophy cabinet. You can catch the full feature on Matchroom's YouTube channel now, where Sam reveals previous offers from the likes of Danny Garcia were made back in 2016 for world honours. Eggington scored a huge knockout last time out in Italy and is looking to do the same again this coming Saturday. This promises to be a cracker. The Big Cheese challenges for Eggington's IBF International Superweight title this Saturday from Matchroom HQ. The first fight of the night sees a cracking contest between Jordan Gill and Reese Bellotti. Two of boxing's good guys collide in this crunch featherweight clash, which surely is a must-win for both in order to climb back into title contention. Let's hear from both guys now.
Yeah, well, back end of last year, a lot of people don't realise how serious health issues I had. I thought I'd never box again. I thought I'd never be the same again. You know, in my personal life as well, I had a subacute pain of thyroiditis. I was struggling in my training. My heart rate was going through the roof. And, you know, I was sweating at night. I was constantly hungry. I had no energy. And, you know, something had to change. So I got a blood test and I was diagnosed. Firstly, misdiagnosed. So I've gone through all the private testing and paid a lot of money for private doctors to give me the correct diagnosis. I think it's a fight that captures the imagination of the public, boxing fans especially. They know what I'm going to bring, they know what Reese is going to bring, and it's a real clash of styles. And I think it's a fight that I'll look forward to, it's a fight that Reese is going to be looking forward to, and it's a fight that more importantly the fans are going to be looking forward to. You know, I've seen the schedule and I might be biased, but I'd say it's up there with the best of the fights on the roster. We've both in the same division and been at this level before. He was champion, took a loss, and I've been champion. So, you know, our names are mixed in the same circle. So people have been talking about the fight for probably 2 years now. He thinks he's going to beat me. I think I'll beat him, but that's boxing. And, you know, I haven't got a bad word to say about him. I don't know anybody that has got a bad word to say about him. You know, he's a good guy, and he wishes me well when I fight. And, you know, I'll do the same. So whoever gets the tactics right on the night will win. And that's the same if you look at any sort of top 10 guys fighting each other. You know, when you're looking at good level, you know, on different nights, different people can beat different people. So I don't read too much into common opponents. I don't read too much into styles because, you know, everything can change. And I believe, my team believes, that I'm above British level, and the job that I do on Bellotti will prove it. So if I'm as good as I say I am or think I am, then we'll see on the night. And if not, it'll be dragged back to the drawing board and it'll be, I'll be exposed. But, you know, I think I'm going to beat Bellotti in good fashion, which I think is important. And I think I'm going to move on to big fights. And this time next year, we'll be looking at world level. My sole focus is winning the fight. And I think even in this fight, if I win on a split decision, but win, this fight is never going to be a dull fight. This is going to be an all-action fight. It's going to be a fight that everybody's going to be interested in. Everybody's not going to want to blink. So winning on a split decision in a great fight is going to rise my stock. And I think that's important, but I am planning on looking good.
I've watched a good few fights. I was live ringside at Cannonman fight. Yeah, he's a very good fighter. It's going to be a good fight. Yeah, cool. So obviously when he came up, he was on his sort of on the way up and people started to notice him. And then I got beaten and he kind of went past me, if you like, and now he got beat, I've got beat, and it's just a perfect time to fight each other. I'm not scared to fight anybody, I'm not that sort of person. I'll fight anyone, and as long as the deal's right and we've got enough time to prepare, I'll fight anyone.
We've been lucky with the weather, really. We've been doing a lot in the garden, and I've been lucky enough there's a gym near me. I've been able to sneak off and go there on my own. So I've been ticking over, I've been doing a lot of running and stuff like that. I'm well into my fitness, so it's not something that I would lack going into this fight. I've got to beat people like Jordan if I want to get to where I want to be. I felt at the time when I went back to the corner, I said to Jim, I felt I'd done enough to win, but I didn't think I'd get it out there anyway. Probably should have done a lot more, to be honest. Looking back at the fight, there's a lot of things that I didn't do great, and obviously we're working on that, and hopefully you'll see that in the fight. I'm looking to improve in quite a few different areas. He was on his sort of on the way up, and people were starting to notice him, and then I got beat, and then he kind of went past me, if you like, and now he got beat, I've got beat, and it's just the perfect time to fight each other.
Now, they don't call Bellotti the bomber for nothing. 12 of his 14 wins have been knockouts. Can he make it 13 on Saturday night? Now, another man who has a puncher's reputation is James Tennyson. The Belfast banger looks to win the British lightweight title on the night against Gavin Gwynn. Let's hear what he's got to say ahead of the title clash.
Yeah, massive faith in my career, you know. Gavin's a real tough lad, you know. We're both two come forward fighters, and I believe our styles are going to clash, and it's going to make a good war. And, you know, for me, I feel this is a must-win fight for me, and, you know, I'll be ready to come fighting it. not cutting them extra few pounds isn't really, it's not killing my performance. You know, I'm a lot stronger and healthier at the weight, which it makes a big difference. Down the lane, you know, that's what I'm aiming for. Get this win out of the way, and, you know, and I can start pushing on and start chasing down a shot at the world title.
Dillian White's heavyweight protege, Fabio Wardley, is aiming to lift the English heavyweight title when he takes on Simon Vanilli. The 25-year-old 8-0 rising star is planning to soak up all the experience from the body snatcher and win his first pro belt this Saturday.
The fight is the same whether there's one person there, 100,000 people there. The fight is the fight. You're in the ring. It's just you versus that one other person, and that's all that matters. So the training, the building up is all pretty much the same. The only thing that posed a bit of problems and complications with sparring, but we're slowly getting that covered and getting that sorted. So pretty much all bases are covered. There's a small disruption in the beginning, but other than that, we just adapted and moved forward. Simon is well versed. He's well versed in boxing. He's been around for a long time. He'd have been in, even when he was a cruiserweight, he'd have been in sparring and things with a lot of heavyweights and stuff. So don't get me wrong, it won't be too much of an initial shock for him, but I think to have someone in front of him that has the speed, that has the power, that has the movement, I don't think he'll have found those kind of three components in someone else on his way up into heavyweight. So I think that as a whole will be a shock for him, that because he's usually used to being the quicker guy, the sharper to the mark. So when he's got the other person in front of him that beats him to the punch, the sharper and that can move, I think that will be the shock to him. Don't get me wrong, he'll have made some improvements. Maybe he'll have trained harder, he'll have trained better, he'll have been in better shape, but there'll still be a lot of those bad habits that he's carried through his career, and they'll still show on the night. I expect him to come meet me, yeah. I expect him to want to... He'll view it as I'm the new guy, I'm younger, I'm fresher, I'm more naive, as you might say, to boxing. That I think he'll want to kind of step in that fight, stamp his authority, and really kind of put the pressure on me and show him like he's the old dog, the vet in the game, and try and put that on me. But I think he'll be in for a shock when I meet him to it and he can't match me. I think there'll be that trying to figure out who's going to control this fight, who's going to take the centre of the ring. And then I think I'll slow the pace down, I'll pick it apart a bit, and then I'll take my chance when it comes and I'll finish it up early.
Well, that about brings us to the end of the first William Hill Fight Camp podcast. Dalton Smith fights Nathan Bennett to complete the fifth fight of the night, with the Thunder looking to keep his unbeaten streak going. Don't worry though, we're back next Tuesday previewing Harper versus Jonas and the full undercard. Enjoy Fight Camp week 1.